I got to thinking a couple of months ago about some series of studies I wanted to do. One of them is on Job. Another one is on the cults. And one that's kind of important to me, that sort of is a foundational one, that is, what happens in the life of a believer the moment they get saved? I was finishing up Romans yesterday, and I just enjoyed all of these things coming alive. I had prepared for them a while, and I saw over and over again just the instantaneous blessing of things that happen at salvation. I want to talk to you tonight about that. What happens the moment a person is born again? And I hope our view there is okay. It seems a little light. Will you go to Romans chapter 8 with me? Romans chapter 8. Okay, now I would ask that you, if you keep your sheet, we'll have it again. We'll have extras again. But this will be something you can fill out when you... For the next couple of Sunday nights. Now, next Sunday night, we're going to be down. Our meeting will be at the dinner. But then the following one, we will look more at these things. There's no way that we could talk about all the things that happened to you and for you when you got saved all in one night. We'd have to be here till midnight. That's why Paul probably preached very late sometimes, because there's so much to cover. But Romans chapter 8. Now, if I can start off in your fill-in there, when you found Romans chapter 8, your fill-in is this: one choice can make such a difference in your life. On Friday night at the RU, our whole theme was making wise, small choices. We can make a lot of big, stupid choices, and they can ruin our lives for years. But you know, we don't have to make huge, big choices to actually change our direction. They turn out to be big in the long term, but a simple choice can make such a difference. You know, you can choose to reject God's gift of salvation. You can outright reject it. I have had people email me and say, I don't want those leaflets in my door. Fine. You also can choose to neglect salvation. Put it off for a little while. But thank God you can choose to accept it. You can choose to accept the gift of God by faith. Now, if you do nothing, if you don't make a choice, nothing's going to change in your life. That's pretty obvious. You will still live in the same darkness you've always known all your life. You will still stay the same course that you've lived. The Bible calls the course of this world. And you will still have the same destiny, which is hell. But if you actually do something about your broken relationship with God, then a whole lot can change in your life. A whole lot can change. Very simply, salvation is not something done to you. Are you listening to me? Salvation is not something done to you. That's Calvinism. Calvinism has already everything done for you. You have nothing to do. You just find out, I guess I'm saved already. No, we're not Calvinists. Salvation is offered to whomsoever. Amen? But it must be received. It must be received as a gift. It cannot be forced on you. Did you know no one is in heaven who didn't first want to go? Nobody's going to go up there and go, wow, I didn't expect to get here. And once salvation has been received, it changes almost everything about you. That's important. It doesn't change your hair color. It doesn't change your height. But it changes the important things about you. That's what being born again does. What you're about to learn are things that happened the very instant you were born again. They don't happen over time. There are some things that happen over time. But these things I'm going to talk to you about happen instantly. Because salvation is not a process whereby a person works and then waits and hopes to gain the earned reward of heaven. That's what everybody believes. Well, I'm doing my best. But salvation is the gift of God. It's given to anybody who will get on Jesus' back and let Him take him there. Take him to the Father. According to the Word of God, a believer receives all of these following things at the very instant that they repent towards God and believe toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you understand it or not, and that's the key, whether you feel like it or not, these are reality in your life. And that's why the Bible says the truth makes you free, not your feelings. But once you know the truth, you can step back and go, you know what, I'm not going to let the devil rob me of my joy anymore. Do you know, one of these days, look at Romans chapter 8, verse 18. You know Paul was a Texan. For I reckon, look at Romans 8, 18, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed where? So one of these days, the Lord's going to unzip this flesh and going to show us all that we had and we didn't even know it. Our goal tonight is to learn that. First of all, what happens the moment a person is born again? Well, the first thing that happens is salvation happens. Salvation. At the moment a person is born again, they're saved. What a great word saved is. Isn't that a great word? I mean, you just say, are you saved? And they look at you. I mean, if you said, are you religious? Most everybody would say, well, sure, to some degree. But if you said, are you saved? They'll look at you with four eyes. Amen? It's a wonderful word. What does it mean? It means delivered. Free from danger. You've been removed from danger. Let's look at a couple of scriptures now. Acts chapter 16 and verse 31. We can leave Romans. Go back to the left, find Acts 16 and verse 31. Let's do Shane. Shane, if you look at Acts 16 and verse 31. Hold on, everybody's slower than you. Acts 16, 31, as Paul and Silas are giving the gospel to a Philippian jailer, give us what they say. Wow. You can be saved. Romans 10, 13, Ruth. To the right. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. All right. There's that word again. Also read verse 9 and 10. Still in Romans 10. There it is. How many have ever been to a funeral or been to church even where somebody said such and such from the front and then everybody would say, Lord, save us. I've heard it and heard it, heard it. And you kind of want to stand up. Does anybody know what they're asking? Because save is a Bible word, isn't it? That's what we're looking at. Now, what does it mean? Well, it means real simple. We're saved from the wrath to come. What did John the Baptist preach in front of all of those crowds that they came out and they came out to hear him preach? What was his main message? Repent and flee from the wrath to come. He never said, folks, come and hear some good music. No. He said, run for your life. Flee from the wrath to come. Because wrath is coming. We are saved. So when somebody says saved from what?
All right.
We're saved from the wrath to come. We're saved by the work of Jesus Christ. Go to Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, Tony White. Acts 4 and verse 12. Key word, must. There is an emphasis in that verse, and there's no other name that'll save you. 16, still in Acts 16:31. We just read it, but read it again. Martin, 16:31. All right. And then one more, John 14:6, Bill. Gospel of John, chapter 14 and verse 6. That's pretty exclusive, isn't it? There's no other way to get to God. And if you, if somebody says, what are you saved from? You have to say, I'm saved from the wrath to come. I'm saved from the punishment of my sin by the work of Jesus Christ. What's the difference between a Bible believer and somebody who's religious? One is working real hard at trying to make God happy. The other one, the Bible believer, says, Jesus Christ already brought God satisfaction, already paid my price. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Already made it, let me switch it onto the other side. Already made it possible for me to be completely forgiven, as we're going to learn, by the work of Jesus Christ. Secondly, salvation is actually a threefold work of God. Look at this. Look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. Geraldine, Romans 5 and verse 9. Wow, there's that word wrath. Also, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9. Geraldine, would you do that one as well? I probably ought to just stick with somebody. Yeah, 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9. Over to the right. Give everybody a little bit of a chance. Verse 9 and 10. So, Geraldine, is he delivering us or has he delivered us? Is it a done deal or is it a process according to that last verse in verse 10? It is done. He does. Sometimes we read along and we don't get the weight of it until we're challenged by some cult or somebody. And we can look at there and it says, he has delivered us from the wrath to come. I already am saved from wrath. We're saved from sin's punishment. Give me a verse in the Bible that tells me that sin gets punished. Death. It's what we earn because we sin. Second thing, did you know we are saved now from wrath? But there is a process. We are being saved from sin's power. Now this is cool. Let's go to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. See, Graham. Romans 16 and verse 20. How many wish sin had no more power over you? How many wish that? Good night, yes. Well, there is coming a day, but we are being saved. Look from sin's power. Romans 16 and verse 20. All right, so Satan's still around, isn't he? He's still making a mess of everything we try to do. But you know what's great? I give you another. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Go to the right, find Galatians chapter 5. Sin still has power to tempt us, doesn't it? Sin still has power to bring us back into bondage even. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Also read that, Graham. So is it possible for a Christian to get back under bondage? Yes. Not that they can lose their salvation, but they can lose almost everything else. Sin still has a power in our lives. So God constantly is intervening and saving us from sin actually taking us too far. Thank God for that. Thank God, as we're going to talk, we're going to be able to talk about it tonight, that God won't let us go too far. What is it that stops us? God's chastening work in our lives. He will not let us go on our own way again and go too far. This is why, listen, if you could understand, if you could get that verse, Romans 5:1 and Galatians 5:1 and Romans 16:20, get that in your head and realize that's why a lot of Christians don't even believe they're saved. They get doubts of their salvation because they fall. Because they see sin rear its ugly head and take over again, and they think, well, I guess I'm not saved. You got the wrong idea about salvation. Salvation, God's the righteous punishment is past. But sin's power is still there. And when sin does have its day, realize Jesus is greater. And we're going to learn about that. You kind of have to take a couple of scriptures, and it's kind of like a good salad. You kind of have to mix it together and see the whole picture. So we are being saved from sin's power. As a matter of fact, if you want salvation from sin's power, stop it. If you want to be saved, and really, the devil's in the electronics, believe me, amen. If you want to be saved from sin's power, you got to put up a fight. You see, I couldn't work to get saved. But when sin, now that I'm saved, when sin comes knocking at my door, when sin starts pulling on my strings, I need to put up a fight. That's when I walk in the Spirit. I say, I mean, that's a whole other message. We'll kind of get to it. It'll be talked to a little bit more. But you know, this being, I am being saved. I do have to put up a fight. I have to put up some effort. If you don't have some limits in your life, the devil will lead you down to the door of hell. Won't take you into it, but he will take you down. All right. The third one. One of these days, we will be saved from sin's presence. Isn't that a good thing? I am saved from God's punishment for my sin. It's all gone. But I am being saved from sin's power. One of these days, sin won't even be around me. Won't be around you either. That'll be a great day, amen. Look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Gina. Philippians 3 and verse 20. To the right of you. There he is. He's 10 minutes early. Well, we will take a break. Are you a little early or what?
We're just checking in with you. Just letting you know that we're here.
Well, we might as well go ahead and do this here. Hold on.
Okay.
Anybody see him? Oops. I can switch that on. Am I on now? We're working? All right. We said that we are saved from wrath right now. I've told you that in my experience, when somebody witnessed to me and gave me the gospel, it was not the love of God. It wasn't the plan of God for my life. It was the fear of God that got my attention. Sometimes we're afraid of telling people they're in trouble with God. But that helped me. Not everybody needs that. Some people do need just a dose of the love of God. They need to know that God has time for them. God has been patient with them. God loves them, has done everything for them. They just need to come to Him and God will change their life. But some of us need to be motivated. I'm glad that my punishment is past. Amen. I am saved from wrath. We're all being saved. So next time you feel temptation come along, say, Lord, it's that time to save me now. Deliver me. Free me from this sinful danger. There's a third thing that we're pointing to the fact that one of these days we're going someplace, the door's going to be locked, and sin's not going to get in. Amen. Heaven is a wonderful place. It's holy. There's no sin there. We're going to be saved from sin's presence. Now, Let me wrap this up a little bit here. For some reason my thing's not moving. No reason why. There we are. This is only appreciated when you compare it with the coming wrath of God. Let's look at a few scriptures. Matthew 25:41. Lily, if you will read Matthew 25 and verse 41. You left your glasses, don't you? Oh, okay, you're getting them. Yes. 25:41. I didn't hear you. I'm sorry. Is that literal? Is that a real place? Yeah, there is coming a day where Jesus will say, "Depart from me, ye cursed." You know, when you realize you're headed to that place and there's a way out, you appreciate it, don't you? You know, we'll appreciate the fact that we're saved from wrath when we realize just how serious that is. Let's look at John 3, the famous chapter, John 3:16. Let's look at John 3:18. Also, if you don't mind, Lily, John 3 in verse 18. And verse 36. Pretty serious, isn't it? One more. Kevin, if you'll read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. Well, verse 7, 8, and 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7, 8, and 9. Is that literal, or is that just to, like, Santa Claus? That's desperately literal. And it says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that don't do good works. Is that what it says? And they won't obey the gospel. The gospel is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you reject that, you've damned yourself. Does God have to send anybody to hell? No, we send ourselves. It's our own stupidity, it's our own neglect, it's our own rejection of the gospel that sends a person to hell. And when you see yourself going there, you'll want to be saved. Amen? One last one, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. To the right, Eileen, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. I'm not there yet, hold on. There you go. Right? So I like how it says, so great salvation. So what are we talking about in this series? We're talking about something that is so great, the day we got saved, the day we were born again. Why is this so great? We're going to talk about we are seated in heavenly places. We have all spiritual blessings right now. But you know the best part? I'm saved. I am washed in the blood. I have passed from death unto life. Amen. That's the best part. So great salvation. And how can I miss it, Eileen? According to the verse, by neglect. By saying, you know, I know I need to get saved, and then put it off and then stepping off into eternity because you waited too long. All right, that's just the beginning. Just the beginning. Oh, there's so much more. We're not going to go anymore. But we're going to look at a lot of good things about what it means to be saved. And I just ask you, go ahead and have a sneak peek, see if you can figure out some of the answers. And then come 2 weeks from now, we will work on them again. Stand with me. Grab your hymnal, will you?